Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
My next guest has just this week, in fact on Thursday, on New Year's Eve, published a new book, and it's titled Feel Great, Lose Weight. But it's not your usual typical diet type of book. There's a lot more to it than that. Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, Damien.
And it's lovely to hear you over there in the UK. A lot of people will know you, of course, from television and from the BBC show Doctor in the House. Like, a lot of us are conscious, obviously, at this time of the year, this weekend and into next week as well, as we pack back the Christmas tree and all of that. We're conscious of our weight and about our health and looking back at what we ate and drank and trying to make up for that and trying to get back on track. And we turn to diets, for example, and we say we're going to cut this out and we're going to cut that out and we're going to run more and we're going to walk more and all of that sort of thing. But this book is not just about what we eat. You say that losing weight and feeling great, it involves a cocktail of measures, not all to do with food and exercise. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely, Damien. Look, I get it. It's the, what is it now, 2nd of January. Everyone's trying to, you know, make 2021 their year when it comes to health. And they're trying all kinds of things. But why I wrote this book, Damien, is because I feel that a lot of people at this time of year beat themselves up. They think that improving their health, losing weight is about deprivation, punishment, restriction. When actually what I've seen over 20 years from seeing patients is that it's actually about compassion, enjoyment. You know, it can be a fun process. And what my clinical experience has taught me is that you can always help somebody lose excess weight in a sustainable way that's scientifically sound and responsible once you help them find the right approach for them. And that's what I'm really keen, and I'm delighted with how well the book's going and how well it's been received since it's come out, because I think it's helping people identify why they may have failed in the past. You know, a lot of people think they're the failure, but actually we're not the failures. Maybe the plan we're following or the diets we try to follow was the failure. Now, you mentioned something there, Damien, it's not like the typical weight loss books that come out. And I'm glad you spotted that. That really was really important to me, to take a compassionate approach to this problem. But a lot of the focus is on what we eat, right? And I understand that, but let's think about why we eat for a moment. So if we think about 2020, right, one of the most stressful years in living memory, many people felt that they put on weight during the various lockdown measures. There's all these kind of terms in the media, aren't there? The quarantine 15, the corona stone, all kinds of things that are out there. But look, what does the research say? The research suggests that 45% of us eat more in response to stress, right? We've just gone through this really, and are going through a very stressful time. Roughly half of us are going to eat more. If that's you, do you need a new diet? Or do you actually need help addressing the stress levels? And so the book is really this very, very practical, but also it really helps you identify the right approach. Another thing that people aren't thinking about, sleep, right? If you sleep about 5.5 hours a night compared to 8 hours a night, the next day you eat on average 22% more calories. So what does that mean, Damien? That means over the course of 5 days of not sleeping well, you're going to consume an extra day's worth of calories.
Well, why do we do that? Why do 22% of us that don't sleep a full 8 hours end up eating 22% more than we should?
Yeah,
what's the connection?
The connection is to do with your hormones. So there's two really important hormones called leptin and ghrelin, your hunger hormone, and the one that makes you feel full. So the day after you haven't slept well, you never feel full and you're always feeling hungry. I mean, I'm sure, look, I know that feeling, Damon, imagine you do when you haven't slept well. We're very peckish and we're not craving fruits and vegetables. We're craving pastries, sweets, crisps, those sorts of things. So that's our biology is changing. But what else happens when we haven't slept? When we haven't slept well, we're less able to resist temptation. So what I'm saying is you can always help someone do this in a sustainable way. But my book is about helping people find the right approach for them. For someone, it might be sleep. For someone else, it might be stress. For someone else, sure, they might want to change what they're eating. But
I'll just wonder on that, if we get our ducks in a row in this regard, like, is it not simpler than all of that, that if you eat properly and then go and exercise, you know, with the fuel on board and eat less and you'll run maybe more or walk further. Then you'll be tired. You'll sleep well. You get up the next day. You won't want as much food. And that there's a circular, like a circle of life like that, that is quite simple to actually follow without, you know, digging too deep into our minds as to why we're eating something, when we're eating something, how we're eating something, and all of that.
Yeah, Damien, I think you've nailed a really important point there, is that all these various lifestyle measures, they all feed into to the other one. So, but you know, I've spoken before about the four key pillars of health: food, movement, sleep, and relaxation. Now, the thing is, everyone's got a different entry point. Like, if you start eating better, you're probably going to have more energy, you're going to move more, that's going to result in you sleeping better, probably going to have less stress. But not everyone has to enter at food. If you start sleeping better, actually, many people then start to make better food choices the next day, which leads to better movement choices. Or, you know, and the other thing which I really want to make clear at this point, Damien, is, and it, because a lot of people beat themselves up, and that's what I'm really, you know, one thing I can say from seeing tens of thousands of patients over so many years is that shame and beating yourself up never works in the long term. It may work in January, right? And everyone can go on a 2 or 3 week diet and lose weight. That's the truth. You could go to the bookstore. Well, if you could travel, you could get on an online store. You could go and buy any diet book. And if you follow it for 2 or 3 weeks to the letter, you'll probably lose weight and feel better. But the question is, what's going to still be working for you in February, March, April, May? Because in March, that's when I, as a doctor, often see people who did lose weight in January. But in March, they've not only gone back to where they were, they've put on a bit of extra weight. And even worse, their self-esteem has been damaged. They feel like they're failures, which leads to more snacking in front of the telly in the evening.
I know it's a bit about personal responsibility here. You're saying to somebody, you know, that comes into you that's put on a lot of weight because they obviously weren't looking after their diet, that they shouldn't beat themselves up about it. Well, then who do we blame?
Well, I mean, how long have you got? I mean, there's personal responsibility is important, but it's not the only thing at all, right? So let's look at it in a big picture. In the 1980s, that's when obesity rates started to go up dramatically. What happened in the 1980s? Did we suddenly become the laziest and most gluttonous human beings ever to walk on planet Earth? No, our environment changed, right? We had more easy access to highly processed, energy-rich foods that are tastier than ever before, right? So our environment is driving a lot of this. Now, we, as a medical professional, I advocate for environmental change. You know, recently the UK government, I think a few days ago, announced that they're going to be, you know, putting restrictions on the amount of junk food offers that can be sold at the ends of checkouts in supermarkets and at tills. Mm-hmm. I think these are really great things because it makes it easier to make healthy choices. But personal responsibility is also important here, for sure. I'm not saying people shouldn't take personal responsibility. I'm saying if stress is your issue, right, there's no point changing your diet. If stress is, what's the root cause of your issue? Once you identify the right root cause, now, Damien, for you, like I'm, you're mentioning something that's a common narrative at the moment, which is, you know, it has been for many years, which is you've got to take responsibility. You just need to eat better and move more. Okay. Mm. Now, that's not accurate for everyone. It just isn't. The scientific data doesn't show that's accurate for everyone. Let's say moving more, right? Let's just
go because I quote from your book. Now, this is coming from somebody who likes to run most days. Now, I haven't done an awful lot over the past few weeks, I'll have to admit as well. But I felt one really good coping mechanism with working from home and isolation and all that sort of stuff was to be able to get out for a run. And I luckily live right beside the Phoenix Park, which is a wonderful place to actually go and run. And you know, I do believe in the idea of endorphins and getting out and exercising to feel better. And then, you know, you'll be motivated then to be able to go out to run the next day, that you will actually maybe cook something that's healthy and that will fuel the body. And that's the circle I'm actually talking about. But then I read in your book, forget exercise. I kind of said, what does he mean by that?
Okay, well, that was just a subheading because I absolutely don't think we should forget exercise. So what the book says is that, can you lose weight without moving your body? Yes, technically you can. Would I recommend it? Absolutely not. I think I think when I talk about exercise, I prefer the word movement, because I think exercise has had many connotations with it. A lot of people think it's about punishing themselves. And actually, movement should be about, as you said, those endorphins, make yourself feel good, a way of actually helping you deal with and manage the stress. What it really shouldn't be for most of us, and this may surprise you, is about burning off calories. And I'll explain to you why that is very succinctly. And that over the last couple of years, Herman Ponsner has done some research and showing us that when we move more, it doesn't always mean we are going to burn off more. Okay, it doesn't mean we shouldn't move, right? But it doesn't mean that if you do something on the treadmill that says 300 calories on it, that doesn't mean those 300 calories are being added on to the other calories that you burnt off. No, sometimes your body compensates from other areas and burns off less. So I'm saying movement is important, but it's important because it makes you feel good. It helps your self-esteem. It helps you sleep better. And it helps you engage in all of those other behaviours much better as well. Did that make sense, Damien?
Yeah. And the other thing as well, yeah, and you talk about the body then goes into a kind of automatic mode, that if you've eaten a full dinner or you're after eating crisps at night or whatever, that you start foot tapping subconsciously.
Yeah. Your body is a complex system. We can't just look at how many calories you were taking in and how much are we working out in the day. It's far too simplistic. Your body is a complex organ. So if your body feels it's not, it's under attack. So if you're super stressed, if you've gone and actually not done what I say is the appropriate dose and type of movement for your lifestyle. So let's say you're super, super stressed and then you go and run like a 3 hour, you know, let's say a 2 hours at high intensity, you go for a run. Okay, that may be too much in the context of your lifestyle. So your body may raise the stress hormone cortisol, which means it's going to start holding on to energy because it feels as though, you know, there's some sort of adverse event about to happen. What I'm trying to say is that you've got to look at these things in combination. It's not just eating less and moving more. It's also about the right kinds of movement, the movement that's going to make you feel good. And you said, Damien, for you, running helps you feel good, right? Running helps you get those endorphins. It helps you want to cook a nice meal for yourself. But for someone else who might be listening now who hates running, that's okay. Maybe running isn't the right thing for them. And there's all kinds of options in the book and in terms of the source of things that people can do that don't require any equipment, that can be done very cheaply, very accessibly. It's really about finding a type of movement that you can do consistently that makes you feel good.
Yeah, and we're in a sort of lockdown now at the moment, and it's a little more difficult for people maybe to, and gyms are closed, and maybe they where they live, it's impossible to exercise the way they might have been able to do so before the lockdown. So we've all of those problems eating into us as well, if I'm not mixing my words there. But are you, speaking of eating, are you a fan of this time-restricted eating, or maybe, you know, picking a window in the day from, let's say, 12 to 7 and outside of that those times not eating? You know, the way we're told you should never eat after 7 o'clock at night and you should eat a good breakfast, and that's a way of fueling the body and making it work and burn calories at the correct levels.
Yeah, Damien, I am actually. But again, I just want to highlight that it's about the right approach for the right person. For some people, time-restricted eating is game-changing. And there's a whole section in the book on this and how people might want to do this. And, you know, even a simple time-restricted window is a 12-hour window where you eat all of your food within just 12 hours. So that could be 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Because a lot of the research is suggesting that for some of us, we will lose weight, we will improve our immune system functioning, we will have better blood sugar control, we'll have more energy, better sleep, right? So you mentioned 12 till 7, that's quite an extreme time restriction window. It can absolutely work for some people, for sure. But I'm saying you don't have to go that extreme for everyone. We can start with 12 or 10 hours. And again, in the book, I walk people through how you do this, how you identify what's the right window for you, but also how you identify if that is even the right approach for you in the first place. And that's, again, Damien, the wider point is that we all want that, is this a good or a bad approach?
Sure.
Well, some things work, you know.
Yeah, well, the old case, you know, there's no one size fits all, and doctors differ, patients diet, all of that sort of stuff. But there is a way for each individual to actually deal with it. Just before we go, what if you're living, and again, when we think about people working from home, sharing a house or an apartment maybe with a partner or a sibling or a flatmate or whatever, that has a completely different diet and maybe a bad diet. Can that be difficult, you know, if you or other people around you can have a bad effect on you?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we are products of our environments. If you are trying your very best to, in inverted commas, eat well, and your flatmate or your partner is sitting on the sofa with a big bag of crisps or chocolate digestives, you're only going to last so long because, you know, after a few days when you're feeling tired and stressed, you're going to crack and you're going to want to engage in that as well. And I explain why that is, because these foods actually do have a slight an addictive-like quality to them because of the way they spike a hormone called dopamine in the body. Now, what do you do in that situation? Well, a lot of us get frustrated. A lot of us really then, we blow up at our colleague or our flatmates or our partner. But actually, I've got a couple of case studies in the book where I actually outline this exact problem. And I say, well, look, there are ways to tackle it. If in one morning, away from when you're feeling tempted, calmly, you say, hey, look, I'm really trying my best this January to actually change some of my habits. And I totally understand that you love eating crisps in front of the sofa in the evening. But for me, it makes it really hard. Yeah. Is it okay if we come up with some arrangement whereby you can reduce that a bit or maybe do eat them when you're going out for your walk? You know, it's about just good communication, yeah, right? That helps all of us.
Yeah, it is an interesting point you make, though, that people around us often have an effect on our food choices. Listen, it's a great buy for somebody that might have a book voucher they got from Santa Claus and are looking for something to read in a timely fashion. It's called Lose Weight, Feel Great. Dr. Rangan Chatterjee is the writer. And it's published by Penguin Life. And Rangan, thank you so much indeed for joining us. And all the best for the new year and the very best of luck with the book.
Thanks so much, Damien. It's actually Feel Great, Lose Weight, in case people are looking
at it. Oh, sorry. Feel Great, Lose Weight. I got it the wrong way around there at the end. All right. Feel Great, Lose Weight. And it's published, as I said, by Penguin Life. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Damien.
Email Brendan@rte.ie.